For Australia to achieve the virtual elimination of the transmission of HIV, novel approaches to testing, prevention, treatment, and care are needed to achieve beyond our 95-95-95 targets and ensure no one is left behind. Today, Andrea Kingdinger from Health Equity Matters joins me on clinician-initiated HIV testing in general practice and learnings from the recently completed national pilot known as normalizing testing, how the clinicians responded to the model, and what this may mean for the future of HIV, viral hepatitis, and syphilis testing in Australia. I'm Brendax Lim, coming to you from the unceded lands of the Gadigal on what always was and always will be Aboriginal land. You're listening to HIV Australia. Andrea, it's good to talk to you again. Last year, we spoke about the normalizing testing pilot, which was in its early stages of implementation, an innovative project exploring how clinicians could initiate HIV testing and how this could be embedded into routine general practice. It also was looking at testing for hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and syphilis. So now that the project has completed, let's look at what the evaluation tells us of what actually happened in practice and what worked.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back on the podcast.
To get us started, remind me, what was the normalizing testing pilot about and what was it looking to achieve?
Absolutely. The normalizing testing pilot was a national pilot project implemented in general practice and led by Health Equity Matters. The aim was to develop and evaluate the acceptability of a clinician-initiated model for testing for HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and syphilis. So rather than relying on risk-based or client-requested testing, the model involves clinicians routinely offering these tests to patients whenever they were already having a blood test, unless the patient chooses to decline. It's similar to what people might know as opt-out testing, and that's where testing is routinely offered as part of care rather than something the patient actually has to ask for. But the key difference is actually in how consent works. So some opt-out models rely on what's called assumed consent. That's where consent is assumed more passively. So for example, could be a poster on a wall in a GP clinic letting clients know that they'll be tested for HIV. And that's without necessarily a situation where the clinician is having a direct conversation with the client every time. In Australia, that approach doesn't really fit within our medico-legal framework. So with our clinician-initiated testing model, the focus is on actively raising testing during the consultation and having a clear, brief conversation with the patient so they can give explicit, informed consent. So the model was designed to be embedded into routine consultations. Basically, when a clinician was already ordering a blood test, they would let the patient know that they would also be tested for HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and syphilis, unless obviously the patient preferred not to proceed. We developed a suggested script to support clinicians with that conversation. And basically, the goal was to normalize HIV testing as part of everyday care, and really in doing so, support more equitable access to testing, you know, particularly for people who may not see themselves as being at risk or who may not want to request testing themselves.
What an interesting approach to also, reach more people with testing who may not necessarily normally be testing for HIV. Now, before we get into the results of the pilot, and I'm very curious to hear how it went, can you talk me through how you evaluated the pilot and what you set out to understand?
Yeah, so the evaluation was a really important part of the project. We undertook a structured evaluation at the end of the implementation phase, focusing on clinicians' experiences of using the model in practice. This was done through qualitative semi-structured interviews with participating general practitioners. Through the evaluation, we wanted to understand not just whether the model worked, but how it worked in general practice. So we explored things like acceptability, feasibility, the benefits and challenges that clinicians experienced, and what might be needed to support future implementation. All interviews were analysed thematically, which allowed us to identify common patterns and key insights across the experiences of clinicians. And this was done by our credible research partners, Anthony K.J. Smith and Martin Holt at the Centre for Social Research and Health at UNSW. So big thanks to them.
What an amazing team to have assembled and to have navigated through this project. Now let's dive into the goodies and discuss the outcomes of the evaluation. To begin, let's start with how clinicians experienced the model. Did they find it acceptable in real-world general practice?
Overall, yes, the model was broadly acceptable to clinicians. Many said it felt like a natural and appropriate way to offer HIV testing, especially once they became more familiar with integrating it into their consultations. It also helped shift testing into something more routine, which reduced some of the stigma associated with testing for these conditions. Clinicians also found it supported, you know, more open conversations with patients and really helped them to build confidence in raising sexual health more proactively. That said, there were some limitations. So time pressure came up consistently. Some clinicians also felt it wasn't always appropriate in every consultation, especially when patients presented with acute or complex issues. So overall, the model was acceptable and workable in practice, but its consistent use really depended on the realities of day-to-day general practice.
So in the end, what has the evaluation revealed about the benefits of this model, clinicians initiating testing?
There were a few really clear, exciting benefits that came through. So first, clinicians reported an increase in testing for HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C and syphilis. There weren't any HIV diagnoses among the clinicians that were interviewed, but there were diagnoses of hepatitis B, hepatitis C and syphilis. And that obviously meant that clients were then able to receive treatment and follow-up care. One of the biggest benefits that we heard consistently from clinicians was actually on prevention. So clinicians talked about an increase in opportunistic hepatitis B vaccination. So while clinicians were testing their clients for infection, they also tested for immunity status. And through that, were able to identify people who weren't immune and could then have them vaccinated. It also created space for, you know, broader sexual health conversations. So not just about testing, but, you know, discussions about things like PrEP, DoxyPEP, you know, even monkeypox vaccinations and sexual health more broadly. A lot of clinicians felt that led to more holistic care and, you know, strong relationships with their patients. Interestingly, even when patients said no to testing, some clinicians felt that it still had value because it kind of planted a seed for patients to sort of make it easier for them to revisit those conversations later on. So overall, it wasn't just about testing. It really strengthened preventative care and opened the door to much more proactive and holistic conversations about sexual health.
What promising feedback from the model. But surely it wasn't all roses. Did they encounter any challenges or barriers?
Yeah, there definitely were a few key challenges that came through consistently from clinicians. The biggest one was time. You know, we know that GPs are working in very busy, complex environments, you know, and even a short conversation about testing can extend a consultation, you know, particularly if patients have questions or concerns. So for some patients, you know, especially where there are cultural considerations or sensitivities around sexual health, you know, those conversations require a bit more time and care. So clinicians also noted that it wasn't always appropriate to implement the model in every consultation. For example, when, you know, patients present with acute or complex issues, it could then be difficult to introduce additional testing without sort of taking the focus away from what the patient was there for. There were also some broader questions about value and sustainability. A small number of clinicians felt less motivated to continue implementing the model when the approach didn't lead to any visible outcomes, like, for example, positive diagnoses. And others highlighted the, added workload of following up test results, following up immunity status, things like that. There were also some system level considerations. So, for example, how this kind of approach could be supported at scale, things such as Medicare or other incentives that could be available. So while the model itself is straightforward, sustaining it in practice really depends on how well those broader system and workflow challenges are addressed.
It sounds like this model of clinicians initiating HIV testing as part of their routine GP practice has some really useful benefits of engaging community members who may not normally be testing or thinking about HIV and other STIs and their sexual health. Just, it sounds like mostly logistical barriers, which is always something my migrant perspective coming in. I'm like, we can make it work. We'll find a plan. We'll talk to the peoples. Looking back though, what would you say are the most important learnings from this pilot though?
Yeah, so there were a few really important learnings that came through. The first and probably most foundational was around medico-legal clarity. What we saw very early on during the design of the model was that clinician uptake really was dependent on confidence that this was a model that aligned with their legal and professional obligations, particularly around informed consent. Early on, the term opt-out testing actually created some hesitation because it can be interpreted in different ways. As I mentioned earlier, in some contexts, it can imply more of an assumed consent model, which doesn't at all align with Australia's legal framework. So one of the key shifts we made was moving to the language of clinician-initiated testing, and that was really deliberate. It emphasised that testing is always supported by a clear conversation and explicit informed consent. And that reframing made a huge difference in building clinician confidence and engagement when we were recruiting clinicians to implement the model. The second key learning was that the model itself is broadly acceptable and does add real value in practice, but with some important caveats. One of the most significant benefits was the model's ability to normalize conversations about HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and syphilis. By offering testing routinely, clinicians reported that they were, able to avoid making assumptions about risk, which reduced stigma and supported a more inclusive, patient-centered approach. It also made it easier to introduce testings. As clinicians mentioned, they didn't feel like they needed to justify why a particular patient was being offered testing. But at the same time, we did identify some challenges for sustainability: time pressures, added workload, and the reality of busy consultations really all played a role. And there definitely are more learnings beyond that, so I'd encourage anyone interested in learning more to have a look at the full report on the Health Equity Matters website. It'll be in the resources section, it'll be available soon.
So based on what we've learned, where could clinician-initiated testing have the biggest impact going forward?
I'd say the key insight is that this model is likely to have the greatest impact in settings where testing isn't already routine. So many of the clinicians in this pilot were based in metropolitan areas and were already relatively engaged in sexual health. There's a strong potential for greater impact in regional and remote settings or among clinicians who don't routinely prioritise sexual health testing. In these contexts, clinician-initiated testing could help to address some well-recognized barriers, things like reliance on risk-based assessment, clinician hesitancy. These can all lead to, missed opportunities for testing, and this is well-documented in the literature. So by framing HIV and STI testing as a routine part of care, as this model does, it can enable clinicians to offer testing more consistently without needing to make assumptions about who is at risk. And I think that universal approach is really important. So it not only supports more equitable access to testing, but also helps to reduce stigma by positioning testing as a standard component of care. In doing so, it has the potential to address structural and perceptual barriers that contribute to the persistency of things like never testers. So that's including both clients who have never been tested for HIV and clinicians who may not routinely offer it. And at the same time, these settings often face, you know, additional constraints such as workforce pressures and limited access to specialist support. So for the model to be effective at scale, implementation would need to be tailored, you know, supported by practical enablers like time, incentives, and really targeted engagement. So overall, I think, you know, the clinician-initiated testing model offers a strong opportunity to expand testing, increase access to preventives, and, you know, improve equity, particularly in sort of outer metropolitan, regional and remote contexts.
Now, just to finish up, one of the key areas in this project was in its name, normalizing testing. <Yeah. laughs> So did you see any evidence that this model actually helped address stigma or changed how people thought about HIV testing?
Yes, this was something we heard quite consistently, and is quite a meaningful finding from the interview. So clinicians described that they, by offering testing to everyone as part of routine care, it sort of, instead of testing being linked to, you know, assumptions about risk, it was presented as a standard part of healthcare, and that helped remove a lot of the implicit judgment that can come with risk-based testing approaches. That universal framing was really important. Clinicians noted that being able to say, you know, I offer this to all patients, really reduced the likelihood that patients felt singled out based on factors like their background, behavior, or identity. We also saw that this approach helped to challenge some outdated perceptions of HIV. So some clinicians reflected that patients who had only ever associated HIV with older narratives, like, for example, HIV being, you know, a death sentence, they were able to engage in more informed contemporary conversations about testing and prevention. So while stigma is unlikely to shift overnight, you know, these findings suggest that normalizing testing through routine clinician-initiated approaches really can offer a practical pathway to reducing stigma, you know, by embedding testing into everyday care and moving away from risk-based assumptions about who should be tested. So it's been a long journey with this pilot, but we've been able to really develop some exciting findings and develop a model that is both acceptable and feasible in general practice. But I just want to take a moment to say, you know, the pilot has only been able to achieve what it has through the time, effort, and expertise of the clinicians who were engaged in the pilot. So I really just want to take a moment to thank and acknowledge all the clinicians who were engaged.
Andrea Kindinger is a Senior Project Officer at Health Equity Matters. The full report on normalizing testing will be made available open access on the Health Equity Matters website under Resources. I'm Brendan Axelin. Thank you for listening.